This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brian brought us our expert scout from DallasCowboys.com. Joining us on the BuyerSafety.com hotline, it's the Cowboys and Carolina on Sunday. Sean and RJ on the home of the NFL tonight at 6:30. It gets started with the Eagles and the Falcons. Good morning, brought us. How are you?
Boys, how about yourselves?
Doing all right.
Super.
Do you have a team this year that you feel really good about? Whether they're a sleeper or whether it's a team that's already solid that you just really, really love. Is there a team outside of the Cowboys that has jumped out to you feel good about?
Yeah, I feel like the Minnesota Vikings are going to be a team that are going to have to reckon with at the end of the year. Mm. I kind of like Jacksonville as well, even though the quarterback situation might not be great. I think that's a team defensively that's growing, each year. They've got young players. But, you know, Mike Zimmer, I have a lot of respect for the way that they've built that football team up there. You know, and then they go out and get Kirk Cousins. And you can kind of say what you want about Kirk Cousins and what he happened to him at Washington, but he always put up numbers against the Cowboys here. I always saw that live. And you know, I felt like, though, if he got in the right situation, he got with a team that had a really good defense and weapons around him, that he would be a guy that probably flourishes as a quarterback. So I have a feeling that the road through the Super Bowl is going to go up through Minnesota, and we'll see how it all plays out at the end.
All right, we talked about this at practice. I heard you on G-Bag. You've talked about it nonstop. We got to ask for the fans who want your opinion on the way that the Earl Thomas situation played out.
Well, I think that John Snyder really didn't want to trade him, and I think John Snyder wanted to hold on to him to prove a point to his locker room that if you hold out on me, then I will find ways to keep you in place. And he knew Earl Thomas was not going to miss game checks. I think I was really consistent throughout the process of saying that, whether it was on Twitter or the airwaves that we have here on DallasCowboys.com. So, you know, the big winner in this was John Snyder, because A, he didn't lose a player, and B, you know, he kind of got control of his locker room. And, you know, those are the things, you know, but once Dallas was able to play in the game, once Snyder said, okay, what are you willing to give me? And by the way, you know, asking for a first round pick was never going to be in the cards. I mean, that was one of those, well, can you give me a one for him? And he knew Dallas wasn't going to do that. The market was set on draft day at the 50th pick when John Snyder and Stephen Jones got on the phone and Seattle called to say, okay, would you be willing to give this pick up for Earl Thomas? And when Dallas said no, well, that was it. But that was where the market was set. And, you know, all this, the flurry of activity that we had yesterday, you know, Dallas was willing to play in the game. They were willing. They started off with a third. They went to a two. That's pretty much what Seattle was asking for. But that's what the market was for Earl Thomas. And Seattle just did not want to trade the player. So not bad on Dallas's part for trying to get a player here. Not bad on the player's part, like Fisher said this morning, for him trying to do something. And really, again, John Snyder wins because he's got his locker room back, because he had a veteran player that was disgruntled that tried to get traded that didn't.
I want to ask you about backup quarterback. Paxton Lynch, cut.
Uh-huh.
We know how much Jerry wanted him.
Yeah.
Connor Cook,
sure.
Cut. We had heard that the Cowboys wanted him.
Right.
And Davis Webb, the former third rounder. Why haven't they had talks or brought these guys in to be a better option than Cooper Rush?
Well, if Cooper Rush didn't have to play as much as he did in the preseason, you know, we'd all probably just be real fine with Cooper Rush. And, you know, and because last year Cooper Rush, you know, like I've said before, was good enough to put Kellen Moore into coaching, you know. So, I think that if Cooper Rush was to play with the first offensive line, with the first group of receivers, with the first running back, maybe he would be a little bit better player. But I understand your question, because if you covet a guy 2-3 years ago, in the old Al Davis mode of the Raiders, why don't you take a look? You know, somebody made this guy a first-round pick for a reason. Why would you not go figure out why he failed? And, you know, but they're comfortable with Cooper Rush. I'm with you, though. You know me, I could get in trouble saying a name of a guy that I'm not allowed to say anymore as a backup quarterback here. But, you know, if you need to take a look at these guys and just to see. And obviously they feel better about Cooper Rush than they do, you know, with Paxton Lynch. Maybe they feel like that, you know, their evaluation with Paxton Lynch was absolutely wrong. Maybe they feel like their evaluation of Connor Cook was absolutely wrong. So, you know, that's kind of where they're at right now. Their evaluation, they feel better about the guy they have than the two guys that you and I are trying to get them to look at.
But let me ask you a quick follow-up scouting question. Yeah. So, I mean, you had heard the word on Paxton and work ethic a while ago.
Yes.
And we've seen much more of him than Connor Cook. So let's take Connor Cook.
Right.
He's played one game.
Playoff game, yeah, against Houston.
He played one playoff game. And he's been in the league for 2 years. That can't be enough to change a scout's evaluation of him as a third or fourth rounder, right?
Well, again, I'm not working in that room. I've worked with some of the guys in that room, and you know, I know there's some guys in there that like the quarterbacks that are currently on the street. But you know, that's what I'm saying. They work for a consensus here, and so with that being said. It might have changed their mind. You know, I mean, it's one game. They've got preseason tape they could also look at as well.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think, trust me, I was the guy championing Paxton Lynch, okay? I mean, Kavanaugh and I were, it was a bloodbath going back and forth on him. And so, you know, until I heard that he doesn't work hard, he doesn't want to be in part of the meetings, he's the last one in, the first one to leave. You know, that's just not the way the quarterback's supposed to operate, you know. And it made me feel good that, hey, he was a first-round pick and John Elway picked him. I'm thinking, okay, well, I haven't missed this guy. Well, you start hearing things about work ethic and things like that. That bothers you as a quarterback. You know, the one thing you could say about Dak Prescott is that he will work. He'll come in here and bust his tail to make things, you know, to try and get better at things. You know, he knows he's not a perfect quarterback, but, you know, you got a guy like Paxton Lynch who feels like he's entitled and all that. And he comes in there and doesn't work hard. I don't know if I want that guy in here either.
Yeah.
Broadus, you know, what is there something that we, the public, missed in the Dan Bailey situation? Because we, bitch about everyone to a man or woman, was out there with their pitchforks ready to, you know, ready to storm the star in Frisco.
Yeah.
But he still remains unsigned. What did we miss?
Well, he's you know, to be honest with you, I'm glad that Dan Bailey didn't go to the Jets. I think that's a terrible situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, though, you know, Dan Bailey needs to be in a place where he could have the advantage of kicking, say, in warmer climate, indoors, places like that.
Controlled environment.
Yeah, controlled environment. Where Dan Bailey has been really, really good is in those situations where, you know, he's – where things are in a, like I say, a controlled situation, a controlled environment. I mean, a lot of kickers are that way. I just think kicking it at the New Meadowlands and having a kick in Buffalo and kicking in New England, you know, probably won't be the most conducive thing for him to do. So hopefully he ends up at a place where it is conducive for him, where he can, you know, have an opportunity. I mean, I've saw him in Green Bay and late season games there. He struggled there with the cold and the wind and stuff. And not that Dan Bailey is not a, you know, every kicker has its moments, but I felt like Dan was just a little bit better when things were perfect for him. Now, you also have to look at the situation as something that, you know, we have to evaluate is, did the coaches lose confidence in him? You know, once a coaching staff loses confidence in you, that they start to see some of the things that, uh-oh, wait a minute, last month of the season, this is what he was. Are we starting to see some of those things kind of creep into our mind this year? I think that's where, you know, we have to really kind of say, okay, they made this decision because of, not really always because of money or things like that. I think it was more about the confidence that they had. They have confidence in Mehar. You know, they have confidence in him. So we'll see. I mean, it's either going to work out great. And, you know, Rick Goslin brought up a great point. He was covering Kansas City when Jan Stenerud was kicking there and they got rid of him. And he was a Hall of Fame kicker. And then they brought in Nick Lowry. Nick Lowry kicked for 14 years after that. So I don't know if the situation will work like that, but that's kind of what you would hope if you're a Cowboy fan.
Brian brought us buyersafety.com hotline. Let's preview the Panthers. We got the Cowboys trying to deal with McCaffrey and Olsen. Who covers those guys?
Well, you're going to get Jeff Heath, and that's going to be one of my matchups I'm going to write about today. Likely Jeff Heath will get the assignment playing down low to have to cover Greg Olsen. Olsen played only 7 games last year, but before that he was a 16-16 guy. So, you know, you're going to have to deal with high targets. You're going to have to deal with high receptions. You're going to have to deal with a guy that's a contested ball catcher, red zone threat, all those things. This is a team that doesn't have great speed, with the exception of maybe a guy like DJ Moore could separate a little bit. The guy they lost, Curtis Samuel, is a guy that had some speed, that was a converted running back from Ohio State. He had a heart procedure, so it doesn't look like he's going to play this week. But it's a really, really tall group of guys, and that's including Olsen. So the Cowboys have got to be alert to playing the ball in the air. You know, you got to get your head around. You know, we've seen the Cowboys secondary do a much better job of doing that with Chris Richard in. Balls in hand, they're knocking a lot of balls down, you know, playing it the right way. So it's going to be really important, not only for Olsen, you know, for Heath to have to battle him up the field, because he is an up-the-field player, even though he might be ancient when it comes to tight ends. But he still has the ability to get up the field. But overall, this is a big group of skilled players, and they've got to figure out how to play that ball down the field.
How about McCaffrey?
He's a pain in the butt, because what they do with him is that they, even though you look at him and he looks like a small guy, a short guy, they still hand him the ball in between the tackles. You know, they run him like a tough guy, short yardage, goal line, things like that. You know, and the threat of Cam Newton running the ball. Now, I don't think Norv Turner really wants him running the ball a whole lot. I think he wants him to throw the ball in this timing-based offense that they try and run. But the threat of Newton running with the ball makes kind of a lane for McCaffrey to run the ball as well. So he's a guy that's a finisher. He's always been that at Stanford. But where he really can kill you is the one-on-one matchups at when he comes out of the backfield on the Texas routes, where he comes angles to the outside of the sidelines and then cuts back to the inside to get you to overcommit, and then they throw him the ball in space. Jalen Smith, Sean Lee, those guys are going to have their hands full having to deal with that. But with Jalen now, the way he's looked, he's better equipped to handle these running backs, the way his health has come back. So that will be a pretty good matchup for the Cowboys right there.
Which D-line advantage do you like more? Is it the Panthers against a banged-up Cowboy front, or is it this new pass rush that we're all excited about against a really banged up Carolina O-line?
Well, Carolina's not as banged up as people want to believe. They do have some problems at the left tackle spot. They're trying to figure that out. Corey Robinson was a guy that they traded for from Detroit. You know, they've kind of moved some guys around. Taylor Moten has been a guy. He was a second-round pick of theirs in 2017. They're playing him at left tackle some. So it's not as dire as everybody kind of thinks it is. I mean, they had some problems in the in training camp and in the preseason, but they seem to kind of got things going the right way. We'll see what happens with Darrell Williams, their really good right tackle. He was limited yesterday, but I have a feeling that he's going to play. But, yeah, I feel like, though, that the Cowboys have an advantage as a pass-rushing group. Now, where I think that the Panthers have advantage is they're inside 3 guys. So when you look at Dontari Poe, you talk about Kawan Short, he's probably going to be matched up a lot against Connor Williams. Mm. So that will be an interesting one to keep an eue on. But also, you got to include Luke Kuechly. So the 3 inside for the Cowboys are going to have to be able to handle the 3 inside for the Panthers. If they're able to do that, I think they'll have some success running the football. If they don't handle Kuechly, if they don't handle Short, you do not want to get into a situation that you had last year in Denver where Ezekiel was running into a wall, and then all of a sudden it came down to Dak Prescott having to make a bunch of throws. If that's the case, the Cowboys will lose this football game. They better handle the inside 3 for Carolina.
A football buffet from Brian brought us DallasCowboys.com, with even more previews coming out when you guys make your picks tomorrow.
We do them on Friday, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
All right,
great
take
stuff.
Care. We'll see you, man.
Well, that's just a machine. Brian brought us buyersafety.com hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.